Amen. Okay, praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. This morning we're going to come to message 4, and this message, Brother Paul Wong and I are going to share this together, and so I'll go first, and I hope you've really enjoyed this weekend. You know, our subject is living the Christian life, and I think on the one hand, all four messages are like a different way to respond to the question of what does it mean to be a Christian, or how do you live the Christian life, right? A Christian is one who lives Christ by loving Christ. Didn't you enjoy that message? I really enjoyed that message. I really enjoyed the reading, actually. We just need more loving, right? If you feel like you're too busy, you need more loving, right? We live by loving. Second message, we saw that we do all things in the person of Christ. That is, in his face, beholding him each day. Last night, we saw that the Christian life is a walk. It's a walk according to our calling, but it's also a hidden walk. We need to live a hidden life before God. A life where our roots are going deeper. Do you guys see that picture? You know, when the sun is shining and it's dry, actually that causes the roots of these living organisms, you know, the grass, the trees, that causes their roots to go downward because they have to find the water. I heard somebody share something a few days ago, and I never heard this before, but you know, the Lord was a root out of dry ground. I had never really thought of that. On the one hand, it points to a lack of kind of attractiveness in his physical outward appearance, but it also points to the circumstances in which he lived. He lived in a dry situation, and yet a root is something that's alive. A root is something that finds water, no matter how deep it has to go. And so we know the Lord Jesus, regardless of the circumstances, he had the supply. Right? Outwardly, maybe things were going well or things were going terrible for him. It didn't matter. He went and spent time with the Father. And so he was a root receiving the supply from the Father, regardless of how dry the ground was. Okay, so we need to have the secret hidden life with the Lord. And so this morning in message 4, we see that the Christian life, I like this, is living by enjoying the flow. Brothers and sisters, do you realize the Christian life is a life of enjoying? We need to be filled with joy. We should be the happiest people on earth. You should come down from this retreat with a smile on your face. When your parents should see you, they should be like, "What, you, Timothy clearly enjoyed something this weekend. Look at the big smile on his face," right? God's intention is that we would enjoy him. You know, when he created man, he put man in a garden. And that garden was called Eden. Does anybody know what Eden means? It means pleasure. Amen. There's a place called the Eden Center, right? In Northern Virginia somewhere, right? I don't know if it's pleasurable or not. There's probably good pho, right? Right? Forget about that, okay? But this shows God's intention is for man to enjoy him, amen. Right? Romans, it says, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So we're going to talk more about enjoyment, okay? But this message this morning is primarily based on some verses from chapter 7 of the book of Ezekiel. Okay, serving ones, college students, don't raise your hands. If you're a young person and you've read the book of Ezekiel, raise your hand. Okay, so like 3 of you. Okay, what does this mean?
That means I've read one chapter.
You've read, what chapter did you read?
47.
Okay, he's read 47. Okay, that's great. All right, so I don't want to bog you all down with the details, but I want to do a physical demonstration. Okay, and it's not to be funny. It's not to distract you, but it's to help you to understand this vision. Okay, you know, the book of Ezekiel is a book of visions. At the time, the children of Israel, God's people, they were in captivity in a land called Babylon, a land full of idols, not too far off from what we are living. Actually, today we are living in Babylon, right? A land full of idolatries, a land that's against God. We're in captivity. This was the situation. Ezekiel, who is the author of the book and the subject of the main character besides the Lord, he was a priest, meaning he was one who was seeking after God, one who served God, who fellowship with God, much like we are doing here at this retreat, right? So this morning, we're all here as priests. Actually, our Christian life is a life of priesthood, serving God, seeking God. Okay, that was Ezekiel. Okay, when he was 30 years old, he saw a vision. And then later on, when he was 50 years old, he saw another vision. That vision he saw when he was 50 is the one we're going to talk about this morning. So on the one hand, to fully see this vision requires a little bit of spiritual maturity. So even I will tell you, I don't fully see. Okay, I see something. But I believe even as young people, you can still see something. Visions are not reserved for only the mature. You know, the Lord, as I was considering this, I was like, oh, you have to be mature. How are we going to share this with the young people? The Lord reminded me that he spoke and he appeared to Samuel when Samuel was a boy, probably younger than all of you, right? And God spoke to Samuel. Samuel didn't understand what was going on. He had to have an old guy like an Eli. I hope I'm not like an Eli, but he had to have an Eli kind of explain to him what he was hearing. But actually, God showed something to Samuel as well. Because if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 15, it says that Samuel was afraid to share the vision he saw with Eli. So not only did Samuel hear God speaking, he saw a vision. Okay, so as young people, you can also see a vision. Okay, so follow along here. Okay, so first we need Ezekiel. I asked him to sit closer to the front for this, okay? There's no other young people named Ezekiel here, right? All right, thank you, Michelle, for naming your son Ezekiel. By the way, David was talking about name meaning. Do you know what your name means, Ezekiel?
No.
Huh?
No. Mm-hmm.
Michelle, do you know what Ezekiel means? Okay, Ezekiel, huh? Moses, do you know what Ezekiel means? No, you don't. His name's actually Ezekiel, which might not mean anything. I don't know. Well, I know Belen knows because her son is also named Ezekiel. Ezekiel means, if you look in the footnote in Ezekiel chapter 1, it means God strengthens. Or it means may God strengthen. I actually really like that. It's like, is it a question or is it a statement? It's both, right? May God strengthen. God strengthens. That's your name, okay? Yeah. So God strengthens. Praise the Lord. Okay, Ezekiel, he's the priest, okay? How about you and I read this together? Yeah. We'll go to Ezekiel chapter 40, okay? Let's just read verse 2. In the visions of God, he brought me into the land of Israel and set me down upon a very high mountain, and on it, the south, there was a structure like a city. Okay, so the first thing, oh, by the way, what had to happen for him to see the vision? God had to bring him into the land of Israel and set him down upon a very high mountain. I'm so glad we're here at Skycroft, right? Not Camp Letts, which is by the water, which is, although Wabana is nice, but we're here on a very high mountain. Actually, spiritually, to be on the high mountain is just to be in your spirit. Amen. In Revelation and Ezekiel are like sister books of the Bible. John was carried away in spirit onto a great and high mountain. So for all of us to see this vision this morning, we have to be in our spirit, right? Okay, so he saw a structure. Okay, so we don't have the way to do this structure. Let me get you three brothers, Timothy, Ben. Okay, come up here. And Luke, come up here, okay? So we're going to have four brothers be this structure, okay?
Okay.
Okay, okay. All right, Luke, come over here. All right, so Luke, just let me, I have to do this with brothers because I have to be able to handle them, okay? So, Luke, you stand and face this way, okay? Don't be, Don't fight with your sister. Okay, Timothy, you're going to be this way. Ben, you're going to be this way. All right, Edwin, this way. All right, so this is the structure. Actually, if you're familiar with the book of Ezekiel, this is actually reminds you of another vision that Ezekiel saw, which is of the four living creatures, which is also a picture. It's not the building, but it's a picture of the corporate Christ, right? And okay, let me ask you brothers a question. Okay, raise your hand if you're facing the east. Who's facing east?
Wait, from
who's perspective? No, of you four brothers, who's facing the east? Okay, Luke, you got it. All right, I was worried. You guys, basic survival skills, okay? The sun rises from which direction?
Southeast.
The east, okay?
That's actually southeast.
Okay, I guess it depends where you are, okay? Maybe you're right, okay. More or less the east, okay? Actually, this is not a perfect picture. The east is actually a little bit more diagonal, but it's okay. We're gonna use the orientation of the building, okay? So this is the east. So who is the south? Who's the south?
Me.
Timothy is the south. Raise your hand. Okay, who's the west? Who's the north? Okay, you brothers clear?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the structure. Just stay there for a second. All right, now let's read verse 3.
And he brought me there, and there was a man whose appearance was like the appearance of bronze, with a line of flax and a measuring reed in his hand, standing in the gate.
Okay, so I need a man of bronze. Emmanuel, come up here. Okay, Emmanuel is the man of bronze. You know who this is? This is Christ. This is Christ. Okay, come over here real quick. All right, brothers, sisters, I have a physical prop, okay? It's not to be funny. It's to help you remember, okay? It's to help you, help this vision stick in you so that later on when Brother Paul is sharing, he doesn't have to spend a lot of energy explaining what's going on, okay? So I was thinking about how I could do bronze, and I recalled that I have this in my house. It belongs to one of my children, okay? It's a bronze medal from a jiu-jitsu tournament, okay? Okay, so this is the man of bronze, okay? Actually, his whole appearance was like bronze, you know? This is kind of a funny image of Emmanuel here with a bronze medal. Actually, if we saw the man of bronze, it would not be a laughing matter, right? We need to know the Lord as a man of bronze. I actually really enjoyed that song, "Who Tremble at My Word." Amen. Even as young people, we love the Lord, we're his friend, but to some extent, we need to know him as the man of bronze,
Amen.
Right? And Brother Paul will explain what this means, but we should have some fear of the Lord, some healthy fear of the Lord, some trembling, okay? This is the man of bronze. Okay, so we've got all the main parts of the vision here. How about we all turn to the verses on page 21, and let's read verse 1 together. Okay, let's read verse 1. And he
the house of the east, where the house faced the east, and the water flowed down below the south side of the house, on the south of the altar.
Okay, that's good. I forgot to include my other prop here. So, the man of bronze also had some kind of old world way of measuring, okay? So we're gonna have our measuring, okay, right here. All right. So this is the man of bronze with the measuring reed, okay? So he brought Ezekiel to the entrance of the house, and there was water flowing out from under the threshold of the house from where? From the east, for the house faced the east. So Luke's direction is the east. That's the front of the house. And the water flowed down below the south side of the house. Okay, so we have east and south. Okay, this is the best I could do for water. Okay, I have a blue blanket. And I actually, I tried to find an artist's rendition of this prophecy, and there's all sorts of things, because it's not 100% clear exactly what's going on here, okay? But Luke, brother, stay in your positions, okay? All right, so Luke, just kind of hold this down here. So the water is flowing out from the east, so it's coming out of a threshold of an opening. How about you call on the Lord real quick?
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Okay, there's an opening, okay, and it's coming out, and it's flowing to the east, or to the south. Okay, you can let go. Okay, so if Luke is, here, can you hold on to this, Timothy? Okay, so if Luke is the front, then Timothy is to what side of him?
The right
side. Okay, so the south side is the right side. Okay? All right. Now I wish I had moved this whiteboard. Okay? So hold on to that, Timothy. Don't let go. Okay? So first, okay, now let's read verse 3. Let's jump to verse 3. Okay? Okay, so man of bronze, lead Ezekiel through the water. Okay, come over here. Actually, why don't you switch places?
Okay.
Okay. Do a little bit of measuring.
Like measure the...
Oh, okay, okay. Okay, okay. Does anybody know what? How much is a cubit? Any of the serving ones know? Toby, how much is a cubit? Yeah, it's about like 18 inches or so.
Yeah.
And how much did he measure? 1,000 cubits. Okay, if you do the math, that's about 1,500 feet, okay? So we obviously cannot do that kind of measuring here. Okay, so let's pretend this is 1,000 cubits and you're measuring, okay? And the water is where? It's to his ankles. Okay, Ezekiel, if the water was to your ankles, do you think you could still move around pretty easily?
No.
Yeah, your feet would get wet, but you could still move around freely, okay? Now, let's read verse 4. Okay, so then they move, let's pretend they're moving down 1,000 cubits. No, this way. So they're moving down, and then there's more measuring, and now the water's to the knees. Okay? He can still move around. That's like playing at the beach, right? You roll up your pants, you have your shorts on, you can run around. Okay? So now the water level is increasing, though. It's a little bit stronger and harder for Ezekiel to move. All right, verse 5. Oh, wait, sorry. We have verse 4. Oh, okay, that's actually, they're both verse 4. Okay, so now water has come up higher. Water is to his loins, okay? Okay, now it's getting harder to move. But you can still walk with water like that, right? If you were like, can you hold this? Like if you were... on a backpacking trip or something, you'd hold your back above your head, right? But you can still move. Okay, now let's read verse 5. Okay, so the man of bronze continues to lead Ezekiel. Does another measuring, and now the water, it doesn't say how high, okay? But it's high enough that you can't pass through. Could you walk through water like this?
No.
You couldn't, right? What would you do?
Drown.
No, what would you do?
Swim.
He's actually, now that he's up here, I realize he's actually a very good swimmer, right?
Yeah.
Right, Mom? Mom's very proud of his swimming. He's a very good swimmer. Water to swim in. Would you, if water was like that, would you rather walk or would you swim? Swim. You just go with the flow, right? You just follow the water. Okay, so this is what happens. The water, the more the man of bronze measures, the higher the water level goes. Okay, there were at least 4 measurements of 1,000 cubits, and each time, ankles, knees, loins, and then water to swim in. Okay, now let's all read verse 6 together. Hold that up, keep that, holding that. Read verse 6. Okay, that's good. Up to the question mark. Let's read it again, up to the question mark.
And he said to me, Son of man,
Okay, so the Lord's question to Ezekiel, I want to ask to all of you. Have you seen this now? Brothers over here, have you seen this? Sorry, it's harder for you all, okay? Leandro, do you see this? A little bit, okay? All right, sisters, you see this? So this is the vision, okay? This is the vision of Ezekiel in chapter 47. Water is flowing out from the east, along the south or the right side, past the altar, okay? Waters eventually, through the measuring, waters to swim in, okay? All right, that's good. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, brothers. Okay. So I hope that let me get that back. So I hope that as we're continuing on in Ezekiel 47, you all will understand basically what is happening there. Okay, let's turn to our outline, which is page 19. And let's all read Roman numeral 1 together. Okay, ready? Go.
In order to live a Christian life, we need to enjoy the flow of life out of the house of God.
Amen. Okay, so we talked about enjoying. The Lord wants us to enjoy Him. What are we enjoying? We are enjoying the flow of life. Okay, we talk a lot about flowing, a lot about drinking. Actually, there's an entire line about flowing water in the Bible, beginning from Genesis chapter 2, right? In Eden, the Garden of Eden, there was water there. And in Revelation 22, one of our verses, there's a river, bright as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. So we have water throughout the Bible. You all know the story of Exodus chapter 17. Where did that water come out of to take care of the children of Israel in the wilderness? Out of the rock, right? That rock was actually a picture of Christ, which we know from 1 Corinthians. Paul said that rock was Christ. That shows us that wherever we are, whatever situation, Christ is with us, and He wants to give water to us. That water, brothers and sisters, that water is the triune God Himself. In Christ, as the life-giving Spirit, in our spirit, to quench all of our thirst. Do you realize how thirsty you are? You might not realize how thirsty you are. You know, in Babylon, there were two rivers. There was that river that Ezekiel saw, and there was another river called Chebar that was strong and powerful. One river was to bring us back to God. The other river is to bring us away from God. That is the tide of this age. You know, why do young people spend so much time on their phones, right? Why do we spend so much time on, I'll just pick on TikTok. Why do we spend so much time on TikTok? Because we think it will quench our thirst, right? Why do people live a life of sin? Because they are thirsty. You know, in John chapter 4, that woman that had five husbands, in the Lord's eyes, she was merely a thirsty sinner. She had a thirst. Why do people struggle so hard to get into the best colleges so they can make a lot of money? They never seem satisfied with position, with money, with worldly possessions, with vacations, because they're thirsty. Okay, so God created us with this need to be filled with Him. That is our thirst, but only He can quench our thirst. He wants to be the living water to us every day to quench our thirst. So we have to drink of Him, okay? Whenever we come together, we enjoy the Lord, we are drinking of this living water. Okay, and then the last thing, you know, the main burden of this message is actually in point F when Brother Paul is going to share. But I have a little sub-burden for this matter of the flowing water coming out of the house of God. This house, as we talked about earlier, is a picture of, in the Old Testament, it's a picture of the temple, God's magnificent house, His dwelling place, the desire of His heart, the place of His rest. Today we know this building is the church. It's the Christ being built into each one of us as the body of Christ. So this water today is actually from, it's not from a rock. It's not from some random spot. It is flowing out of the house of God today. So brothers and sisters, that means the place where your thirst, practically speaking, the place where your thirst can be quenched is in the church. We have to be properly positioned, properly related to the church. This is where the water is, brothers and sisters. I hope you will always, for the rest of your life, remember this. When I'm in the church, there's water there. When I come to the meetings, that's where my thirst is quenched. When I get together with the believers in oneness, my companions, we drink the Lord together. That's where the water is, right? I hope you never leave. If you leave, I hope you always remember, I need the water, and the water is in the church, amen. Right? How many young people are we still praying to return to the water, right? The Lord, as the Father, is just waiting for so many to come back to his house to have their thirst quenched. So remember, this water today is out of the house, and it's for the house. So if you want that thirst quenching, you have to be related to the house, involved in the house. Okay, let's read A together. God's ultimate move in man. Amen. So as we're drinking of the Lord, he's just transforming us, right? Like 2 Corinthians 3:18, the more we drink him, the more we are being deified. We actually talked about this at our last YP time in the church in Washington, D.C. What was the key word, Alys? It's in point A. Anybody want to help her? Luke, what was the? Deification, that's right. Deification is the process by which we are being made the same as God in life and nature, but not in the Godhead, right? So that's what's going on with this flowing. Okay, so points B, C, D, and E are all from Ezekiel chapter 1. And we'll just go through them quickly, and I'll just highlight a little bit of application with each one. Okay, how about the brothers read B, 1, and 2?
In order for the water to flow, there must be a threshold, an opening. If we draw closer to the Lord and have more contact with him, there will be an opening that will allow the living water to flow out from the church.
Okay, how about sisters? Go to page 21 and read Psalm 81:10. Sisters, I love this verse, Psalm 81:10.
I am Jehovah your God.
Open your mouth wide and I will fill it.
Amen.
This is why in all of our cabin times, our small group times, when the brothers put the microphones out here, we want you all to open your mouth. Sometimes you have to open your mouth in order to drink. Yes? How else can you drink water? Through an IV? We don't want the water to come that way, right? Give me your veins and I will fill it. That's not the Lord's way, right? The Lord's way is open your mouth. I hope during our overflow time, during our next cabin time, there is much opening of your mouth. The Lord wants to fill you, not just for you, but for those around you. Okay, when you're in your small group time, maybe there's a sister there that needs her thirst to be quenched. She might not be your best buddy. You might not know what locality she's from, but she might be thirsty. And the Lord may need you to open your mouth so that he can fill you so water can flow out of you to that sister.
Amen.
I believe you all can quench one another's thirst. The flowing is not just in this meeting. The flowing is in all our conversations with one another. Okay, so think about that as you go to your next cabin or your next group time. All right. So brothers and sisters, open your mouths.
Amen.
Every day, open to the Lord. Okay, brothers, read C, 1 and 2.
The Lord is
Amen. Okay, I don't feel like I need to say a lot here, but I want you all to remember the sun rises from which direction?
The east.
The east. What does the sun rising signify? It can't signify a couple of things, but just remember, it is God's glory. So we are here seeking God's glory, not the glory of any man, not our own glory. When you go to stand up in the meeting later on, you're not there to bring attention to yourself. We're there to bring glory to God. Amen. Actually, there's only one person who lived like this, and that was the Lord Jesus in our spirit. Just like Brother David was sharing last night, you know, the Lord didn't want to bask in the glory of feeding 5,000 like a politician at the end of a successful speech, right? He wanted to quickly withdraw and seek the Father. The Lord was the only one and is the only one still who's seeking the Father's glory. So that is our direction, okay? Amen. Okay, how about sisters read D, 1 and 2. Amen. Okay, so you can look at these verses. The right side, the south side signifies the highest position. Okay? Key words, please underline preeminence. This word should just be in all of our prayer, all of our consciousness, and then controlling factor. Just like in message one, the love of God constrains me, right? We want to be controlled by the flow. And this flow is not always, you know, all of us just releasing our spirits at the conference or in a meeting. It can be, like last night, a gentle, quiet voice. I hope you would take care of the flow, take care of the gentle voice for your entire life, right? Give the flow the preeminence. Lord, what college do you want me to go to, right? Maybe you want to go to such and such school that's ranked number one for such and such program. But maybe you just have the sense the Lord wants you to go over here, right? We have countless experiences. I wish we could have a time, maybe we should have a time with seniors and juniors and just bring up all the ones who followed the flow, right? And stayed in the blessing. Not saying you should not go to the top-ranked school of your choice, but make sure you're going there in the flow. Everything you do, brothers and sisters, give the Lord the preeminence, okay? It would be tragic if you don't learn this lesson while you're a young adult, right? And you spend the rest of your life off of the flow, going after your own preference instead of the Lord's perfect will. The Lord's perfect will is the magnificent house of God with the river flowing out of it. Okay, last point. Let's all read E together. Okay, I don't feel too much to say anything about that. I will hand it off to Brother Paul,
Amen.
Who will pick up from here.
Okay. Can everyone stand up? Let's declare, oh Lord Jesus, I love you 3 times.
Oh Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus, I love you. Oh Lord Jesus, I love you.
Now declare, O Lord Jesus, I want to behold you 3 times.
O Lord Jesus, I want to behold you. O Lord Jesus, I want to behold you. O Lord Jesus, I want to behold you.
Now declare, O Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you in a hidden way.
O Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you in a hidden way. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you in a hidden way. Oh, Lord Jesus, I want to walk with you in a hidden way.
Amen. Thank you. I really appreciate this title. It's Living by Enjoying the Flow. It doesn't say living by enjoying the water, but it's a flow. That means this water actually is constantly in motion. So we are not just drinking a kind of a water standing there, but actually we are drinking water is constantly moving. And this water actually is the living water. I really appreciate today, when we talk about the Christian life, we are not saying, do this, don't do this, or do that, don't do that. But actually, we first do what? We first, by loving him, right? Then we second, by beholding him. And then we walk with him. And also, when we say we walk with him, that means we are following him, right? Not him following us. So this is our Christian life. Now, on the second half of this message, we want to cover in a little bit more detail regarding this whole picture. Did you have that picture in your mind? Okay, we have a house of God here. Let me clarify a little bit about the East. Let's reorient ourselves. This is North, this is East. Okay, the house is over here, and with a wall surrounding it, this is the altar, and the water is flowing out from the threshold of the house, and on the south side of the altar, and flowing out through this gate here. So I think that's a little more accurate description of this flow. And then outside the wall, the man of bronze kind of measure the steps, the cubits, four times with Ezekiel. So what does this mean? What does this measure mean? What do you think about measure when you first heard this word? Anyone can help us? What does measure mean? Yeah? Can you say it louder? Okay, the distance between two places, okay? We probably need more little general description of this. Right now, the sisters talk about the distance. But here, the measure is not just a distance. You may say the measure here means using certain standard. This man of bronze, he used a reed, right? Measure 1,000 cubits. And interestingly, is after he measured that 1,000 cubits, the water changes. The depth of the water changes, right? So the man of bronze is Christ himself. We know the Lord, when he was on the earth, he went through a lot of trial. He was actually tested, right? He tested by man, and test by the Jewish tradition, and all prove that he's right? He's righteous. So he was judged, proved, test by that time. Now this man of bronze, he's using this reed, this standard, you may say, to measure this flow with Ezekiel. So here, let me read you a verse that is in 1 Corinthians 3:16. If you want, you can take it down, 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? So in a personal level, this house of God actually can be synonymous as the temple of God. It's you in a personal level. And this flow actually is coming out from you. And when you are reading the material, you will see the brothers help us that this actually is your spirit. When you are open to the Lord, there's a flow coming out from your spirit. And then this man of the bronze will measure you. The four time measuring means is a complete measuring. And actually, in our lifetime, the Lord will measure us many, many times. Many, many times. Until this water is no longer shallow, right? It becomes a river that you can only swim in you cannot cross over. And that means by being measured by the man of bronze, the level of life will get deeper and deeper. So today, when we talk about enjoying the flow, it's not just simply enjoying the flow, but also we need to be measured. I've been thinking about what's the best way to describe this kind of experience to you. How about let's read the outline first. Can we read point F? Okay, together. For the increase of the flow of life, we need to be measured by the Lord as a man of bronze. Okay, so here, talk about a Christian life. There's one thing that's necessary. What things? That's to be measured by the man of bronze. So I'm thinking about, you know, measure. Do you know, as soon as you were born, you start being measured. You probably don't know because you were born, but I saw my son was born. So the first thing the nurse will do, not only clean him up, they will put my son onto the scale to measure his weight, right? And then tape measure to measure the height. What about when you get into the grade school? Are you being measured? How? Huh?
Grades?
Do you have an exam? Midterm? Final? Right? All the way to when you graduate from college. Right? Every time you are measured, you're being measured. Right? Initially, you may be just measure 1 + 1 = 2. That's okay. And then algebra. Right? Recently, there's a brother told me that he had a hard time with algebra. And then calculus and many other courses you need to be measured to prove that you are growing. You are up to that standard in your life, right? So the measure here actually is measure the level of life that's in you, right? So in the personal level, this actually is your spirit, and the Lord is measuring you many, many times until the flow is completely a river. So you can only swim it, not able to cross over it. Yeah. Okay, can we read point one together? Amen. To measure is to examine, test, judge, and possess the four measuring of 1,000 cubits, which is a complete unit, indicate that as creatures, we need to be thoroughly measured by the Lord so that he may take over and thoroughly possess our entire being. And in the example, brother mentioned about sisters go out to buy cloth, buy fabric, right? Over there, you use measure to measure how many yards of fabric you want. And then the measure you have is the measure you want to purchase, right? For example, you want to buy maybe 10 yards to build, to make all the curtains in your house. So when you measure 10 yards, you cut it, and that 10 yards is yours, and you purchase it. So the more the Lord measures us, the more the Lord is possessing us. Okay, hopefully this will be clear to you. So do you want to be measured? Do you want to be measured? Of course. Do you want to pass your test? You know, in your school, if you don't take any test, what happens after that? You stay, right? You cannot graduate, right? So today, by loving the Lord, by beholding the Lord, by walking with the Lord in a hidden way, we also need to be measured by the Lord. Not because we want to pass this or pass that, because really we love the Lord. So we're willing to be possessed by him. So here, the key is be possessed. All right, so here, there's some other things here. The measure also include exam. You all know what exam means. Test, judge, and eventually possess. So in our Christian life, we will encounter many things. I really appreciate Brother Davis sharing from the first message, talking about without vision, you cannot love the Lord. Right? You have to have a vision. You can have a true love for the Lord. Otherwise, when you only have a knowledge, it's going to run out your stamina. Now, you cannot love the Lord by yourself. You need to have the vision. And how do you see the vision? You need to read it in your spirit. And if you listen to brothers sharing, you will know that our spirit is very, very important in our Christian life. Without spirit or this mingled spirit, it's no way we can have a proper Christian life. So here, when we talk about being measured by being examined, by being tested, even by being judged, we really need to have the vision. Otherwise, okay, why do I got F this time in my test? Why the Lord didn't help me? If you don't have vision, then you are wondering why I'm fumbling into this kind of grade, right? Just tell you a story. When I was in a brother's house, we actually have a lot of brothers getting ready to take the college entrance exam. And one of the brothers, he actually was very sure that he will enter into the higher level college or better college, but somehow he just kind of fell into the least desired college he wanted to go to. And he was very unhappy. So when he entered into the school and then he met with the brothers there, saints there, the college senior brother actually shared a testimony to them. The brother, college senior brother, just shared to them that they have been praying to the Lord in that whole week because they are getting graduated. They pray, Lord, we only want the strong high schooler to come into our school. We don't want weaker one. So actually, there's not only just one brother. There are several brothers who actually was very, very active in high school, who I know of, and got into that school. And so if you don't have vision, you will just complain, right? You will just complain. Why? Lord, I want to go to this. I want to go to Harvard. But why do you let me go to this community college? Right? So all this, when we are being measured by the Lord, we really need to see the vision. We need to remain in our spirit. So we will not be stumbled. Right? So I really praise the Lord that here, this man of bronze is with Ezekiel. Right? Step by step, leading him. Okay, let's read the next point together. The more we allow the Lord to examine, test, and judge us, to possess us, the deeper the flow becomes. The depth of the flow depends on how much we have been measured by the Lord. Can we read the second half of this? The depth of the flow depends on how much we have been measured by the Lord. I don't know, do you have such a feeling? You know, today the whole society is very superficial, very shallow. I don't know if you agree with me, especially among the young people. Very shallow, right? But being a Christian, do you want to go deep with the Lord? Amen. Yeah, last night Brother David helped us. We need to get our root deep into the soil, right? When we have that deep rooting, that means not only we ourselves can survive, but also through this, we can see that the water level also will go deeper. You know, our Lord is always doing deep things. Our God never do anything that's shallow. Just consider Abraham. His whole journey, if you remember his story, the Lord didn't do anything that's shallow. Right? When the Lord asked Abraham to offer up Isaac, that's something very deep. Do you think if you are Abraham, will you be able to offer up Isaac? What's the things you like the most?
I don't know.
Well,
music.
Music. Okay, let's suppose you have a very, very piano you like very much. All right, then I will say, hey, Ethan, give me your piano. What will you say?
Why?
Okay, at least he's very honest. He asks why. Then when God asked Abraham to give him Isaac, his only begotten son, do you think shouldn't Abraham ask why? God, you just gave me my son. I have this son when I'm 100 years old. Now you want me to offer him up. Why? Why do you want me to do this? Right? Did Abraham did that? He did not, right? He just bring his son to the mountain designated by the Lord and trying to offer him up right there. Right? That's a kind of measure the Lord rendered to Abraham, right? So Abraham become the father of faith, right? So our brother help us. Abraham is not a father of faith in the very beginning. He has gone through a process. And today, we are the same. Remember this water level? What's the starting with? Our ankle. What's the next level? Our knee. What's the next level?
Loin.
Eventually, it becomes river. So I hope that we all have such a desire. Lord, bring me deeper.
Amen.
Lord, I am open to all the measurement you render to me.
Amen.
Maybe the Lord will use your parent to measure you. Right? Maybe the Lord will use your teacher to measure you. Or maybe the Lord will use your classmate to measure you. So I hope that by that time, when you are kind of annoyed by your classmate, you will have a vision at that time, knowing this may be a measure from the Lord. So the first thing you should respond is not to respond to your classmate, but rather you have to talk to the Lord. Lord, I'm encountering this situation. I need you, right? By contacting the Lord, by interacting with the Lord, by fellowshipping with the Lord may be able to make this water deeper.
Amen.
There are many, many circumstances, many situations in our life. Not only yours, but also mine, is a measure designated by the Lord to deepen the water. Okay? The measurement is not meant to just examine, just to test, or just to judge us. Those action is to take all our iniquity away, all our shortage away, so that the water of life can be deepened. So I really appreciate today. Do you have a desire to let this water deepen in you? Okay, later on we will see what this means when the water is deepened. Can we go down to point three? Let's read together. The more we are measured by the Lord, the more we are restricted and limited by the flowing of the grace of life, until eventually we are lost in and carried along by the flowing, trying God. As a river in which we swim, in one sense we lose all our freedom, but in another sense we are really free. I'm just give you an example. When I was in the military, I've been mocked by my peers. Interestingly, there are soldiers. They are lower educated. They probably just, some of them are not graduated from high school. Then they went to military service. And they see those are higher educated. My peer, my colleague, mocking me. They got angry. They are angry. So they told me, they said, Paul, just give us a word. We will beat them. So that's their way of trying to support me. So I told them this. I said, if what they say is true, then I have to humble myself to accept their common, right? If what they say is not true, then they are not talking about me. So either way, I don't need, and there's no reason for me to get angry with, right? So I don't know how I can come up with those kind of statements. But anyway, the Lord gave me that kind of word. At that time, these colleagues of mine, during the daytime, they mock me. They want to please the other colleague. But during the nighttime, they will come to me, talk to me, and apologize to me, say, "Hey, Paul, sorry. In the morning, I don't want to offend the other colleague. So I just be with them mocking you. But I now apologize to you." And then they start asking me a lot of questions regarding my faith. So there are many things happen in our life, right? But all these things can only help to deepen this flow. So do not despise the circumstances you are facing. Many times these circumstances, if you accept before the Lord, because you love the Lord, you want to be holding the Lord, you want to follow the Lord, and this will become a help to help you deepen the flow. Can we read the next point? The river causes everything to live. The flow of the river produces trees, fish, and cattle. Amen. So, now you know why this flow needs to be deepened, right? Because you are not the only Christian here. Now, when we talk about house of God, it's not just you. The house of God, including you, me, and everyone surrounding you. Together, we are deepened. If everyone experiences the Lord this way, together we'll deepen this flow. And this flow will become a living water. So wherever this flow goes, what happened? The life will be produced. There'll be life germinated. Okay, Daniel, let's consider. You really been measured many times. There's a very deep flow flowing out from you. And then whoever you talk to, they all got touched by your speaking, which is your watering. And then they all turn to you, "Tell me, help me, how can I believe the Lord?" Were you happy to do that? Were you happy to flow this life out to other people? And how about everyone today? Actually, later on, we will put two microphones here. It's a time for you to flow, right? You know, by flowing in this way, every one of us, everywhere when the flow reaches, they will produce life. There will be plant life, there will be fish life, and also there will be animal life, the cattle, right? So I just want to impress you that today we actually can produce life if we allow this measure constantly passing through us to deepen this flow. Okay, because time, let's read next point. The river waters the dry, parched land and heals the dead. This watering and healing are for the purpose of producing life. Point one, the river is unable to heal the swamp and marshes. A swamp or marsh is a neutral place, a halfway place, a place of compromise and lukewarmness. Point two, for the flow of life and for the church life, the Lord Jesus desires and requires absoluteness. By being absolute, we will be in the flow, and the flow will not be a tick of water. Then everything shall live wherever the river comes. Do you like this kind of church life? Wherever you go, life flourishing. Because you are the channel of life. And also because you've been measured time after time, situation after situation, incidents after incidents, and you are able to allow the Lord passing through you and deepen this flow. So I hope that this really impressed us today. Yes, there's a personal aspect of this, but also there's a corporate aspect, right? Remember, wherever this flow reaches, the life produces. Amen. I've been thinking about why after Summer School of Truth, or why after retreat, the young people enjoying low level go down. Do you know? Maybe you know, I don't know. But this time when I raced through this outline, I realized something, that we really first need to let the Lord measure us. So the measure is not in the retreat. The measure is not in the Summer School of Truth. The measure is after the Summer School of Truth. The measure is after the retreat. When you go home, that's a real time for you to be measured, right? How well you receive the word, the speaking from this retreat. Not from here, from when you go home, right? When you face your old life, in a sense, your school, your parents, okay, that will be the time you'll be measured. I hope that we will all do well. And then when we are do well, we allow the Lord to measure us and the life deepen. Even your parents will be watered. Do you believe that? Amen. You have to believe that, right? Because the Lord is in your spirit. Amen. Okay, let's read Romans number 2 together. Our enjoyment of Christ as the Lord
is for us to be sowers, planters,
water, begetters, feeders, and builders with the ministry of life for the marvelous organic building of God, the magnificent house of God. So we were talking about, Brother Ben showed us that the temple or the house is facing east. What's facing east means? The glory of God, right? Because that's where the sun rises. So today our Christian life has an aim. Our aiming is the glory of God. Now, by flowing or allow the Lord flow through us, by measuring us, then we will reach the glory of God. Consider, this is not just a privilege of older saints. This actually is a, you may say, is our commission, our mission. We are here not just enjoying each other's company, but we are here to glorify God. So may the Lord have mercy on us. I think I will read the last verse to you. It's in Philippians 3:9. This is Apostle Paul's statement. He said, "And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is out of the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is out of God and based on faith." So to Apostle Paul, he didn't want to live his own natural life, but he wanted to be found in Christ. Do you want to be found in Christ? Then you need to stay in this flow.
Amen.
You want to be found in Christ? Then you also need to let this flow out through you.
Amen.
Through one another and also through your peers, or even to your parents. So eventually, God will be glorified. Amen.
Amen.
So we can break into our small group.